back to another iconic episode of Legally Judgy. I am Nicole.
Alexa? Is that you? You opened it up like me.
I know. I was trying to I was trying to tap into your energies.
I liked that. Iconic. It's much better than
iconic
my last.
Iconic is a good one too.
Much better than my last
mediocre
episode.
It literally came to me as we were sitting here. I was like, boom, got it.
You always do that, especially with your intros. It gives me anxiety.
Yeah, I know. I never have my intros prepared.
I plan everything out. I'm like, what is going to happen next week?
No idea.
I like to plan it out.
I am living by the seat of my
pants.
Pants?
Okay. Is it the seat of my pants?
Seat of my boots? No, that doesn't make sense. The seat of my pants.
How do I even type
okay.
that in the internet?
Well, she looks that up.
Seat of my pants.
All right. That makes sense. That makes more sense
your
than boots.
Your boots, huh? I don't even know what that means, though. The seat of your pants. Oh, you sit. So it's the seat
living by
your pants. Your
what
butt.
What is it called? Living by the seat of my pants?
You said that. The meaning just says seat of your pants.
Flying by? What is the appropriate verb
if you
here?
Fly by the okay. seat of your pants, yes. Or do something by the seat of your
okay,
pants.
Okay, we are moving on. So
stop talking about pants.
As per usual, we have a lovely billboard lineup for bulletin board lineup for y'all. I'm all over the place. Just forgive me. Okay, guys, come
remember
on.
Remember that one time you said...
Keep it straight.
Remember that one time you said something like, put your hat on
and
pull
your pants
up? Pants
up?
Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As an encouraging remark. This is killing producer Marge over there. She's dying. So one time, we're going to give our non-patrons a little behind-the-scenes action. Producer Marge is crying. We were getting ready to record, I think, for the second time, one of our episodes. Maybe it was like the GameStop.
It was GameStop.
And she said, all right, guys, we're going to do this. Put on your hats and pick up your pants. And we all just looked at Nicole like, what on earth are you talking about? First of all, none of us wear hats. And why would our pants be down? And why would we need to pick them up, you sicko?
You're welcome. So back to our billboard, bulletin board. Sorry, did that wrong again.
Should be a billboard.
So we've got our Patreon, if you have not heard.
Yeah.
We have our uncut episodes where you can get more of our banter that you just got to witness for 2 minutes, all very unscripted. Mm-hmm. We've got Community Hub where you can see some behind the scenes footage. You can participate in some polls. You can ask us questions, tell us how much you love us. Mm-hmm. And we've got mini-sodes where we kind of just talk about what we've been talking about, some like legal issues.
But we're changing up.
TBD on what happens today.
We're creators, man. It's always changing.
Living our lives by the seat of our pants.
Oh, there she is.
So anyways.
Not the boots.
Back to our Patreon. Shout out to our new Patreon, Lisa D.
Woo woo. Thank
Welcome.
You, Lisa D.
Welcome to the community.
Welcome to the judgy community.
Yeah.
It's nice. And real quick, before we segue into our patron-only content and finish the bulletin board, I do want to shout out one other person.
Okay.
This is not even patron
is
content.
Is it me?
It's not you.
Am I the drama?
Yes, you are, but this is not about you for once. I need a shout out Apple reviewer times a billion, whose entire review is only two lines. I'm going to read it. She says in the title, I assume it's a she, to be honest, because 90% of our listeners are female. But they say, I'll be better. They say, I mean, it's great and all. They leave us a 5-star review and they say, I just wish they remind me they have a Patreon more often. Girl, I keep forgetting with 3 exclamation points.
You're welcome.
And we want to tell you times a billion, that made us laugh. That was quite the hoot to read. And it's judges like you that keep us going. So if you want to grab a drink anytime, you let us know because I feel like you would get along swell with us.
Yeah.
So shout out to times a billion for that lovely Apple review.
Thank you. We appreciate the 5 stars.
And you keep the reviews coming, people, and you amuse us so much. We'll give you more shout outs. Yep. How about that?
And last kind of sad reminder for the bulletin board. This is our last episode of the month. So just a reminder that the first week of April, we will be off. Ideally living our best lives.
Sipping margaritas.
Yep.
In my
on a
rendition
beach.
Of a nice life.
Probably yep. not. We'll mostly just be working.
With margaritas.
But we will not have a new episode. So...
Correct.
We are not gone. We'll be back before you know it.
We're prepping something good when we come back, though.
Always.
Get ready.
Oh, it is a good one. You're right.
It's a good one.
Got a good
it's
one
pretty
up.
Juicy.
Yep.
So get ready. All right. We got to segue into our patron-only content, though.
Let's do it.
We got to talk about
meet us
what
over there, patrons.
Bye.
Well, should we get over to the real scammer section of the day?
Yep. It's time for another scammer. Exposed.
Another scammer. We have so many scammers on our podcast.
I feel like
it's like a way of life.
Yeah, okay. First of all, done with the patron-only section. Y'all missed out on a lot of stuff, so go sign up.
We were all over the place.
You're right. I feel like it would be ideal if every episode we get to expose a scammer. We just need
wouldn't be bad.
More scammers.
I wouldn't hate it.
I enjoyed the Anna episode for that.
Yeah, it was good.
It was. The stories are crazy.
Salacious.
Even your girl, Patrizia. She's a bit of, she's a scammer, more dark.
Let's put some more respect on her name. She was married into that family. She deserved that money. It was not a scammer.
It's kind of crazy that you are such a big fan of her.
I am a Patrizia defender. I just feel like
hired a hitman to kill her husband.
I'm not defending that part, but I also feel that if you get married to somebody and marry into the family and have kids and you cheat on me and I have to find out through my OB, we're going to have issues.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Well, okay. We wish that this episode was going to be as entertaining, but you know, it's us. Close. I think it'll be entertaining because it's us, but we're going to, it's not, it's because it's about Akon. We're going to be talking about Akon, and he was popular, what, 12 years
500
ago?
500 years ago.
At best. And I'm not a big fan. I'm not going to lie. His voice is irritating to me. I'm just going to say it now.
His favorite song of mine came out when we were in high school. Not to age ourselves, but Locked Up came out like junior, senior year of high school.
We're old.
And I was a little hood rat from time to time. And so I was like, you know.
Locked up?
Yeah.
You felt that one? You just hit? You're like, yeah, man.
Me too.
Relatable.
Precisely.
Aren't you the same girl that broke her leg shopping?
Okay, first of all, we can live many different lives.
All right, girl. All right. All right. Well, let's break it down. Let's tell the peoples what Akon is up to. Do you want to, per usual, give us the intros?
Yes,
that we all need and love.
Okay, so Akon was born in 1973 in St. Louis, Missouri.
What was his full name, Nicole?
I was just going to skip right on over that because I don't want to like disrespect. I don't like to like not pronounce people's names correctly. I'm going to try though. This is like a really good faith effort. I think it's Aliane Damala Bajara Akon Tiam. I don't know.
That was pretty good.
Maybe Tiam.
That sounds pretty good to me for what it's worth.
Really tried there.
But again, I say Deshund, so go on.
Yeah. What is it? Dachshund?
It's a Dachshund.
Okay.
Friggin' dog.
So Akon was born in 1973 in St. Louis, Missouri, but his family is actually Senegalese, and he spent a significant amount of time there as a child. And so he was born into an artsy family, as his mother was a dancer and his father was a percussionist. So Akon then learned to play 5 instruments as a child, including the drums and guitar, and he even began singing as a teenager. And so Akon eventually goes to college in Atlanta for 1 semester and then drops out so he can like fully kind of focus on the music business, his music career. And so after that, he starts making home recordings and selling songs. Little side note, from 1999 to about 2002, Akon reportedly was part of an auto theft ring and spent some time in prison. And so note, there are some inconsistencies around this because while he at one point said that he spent 4 years in prison, during which he wrote one of his albums, a website called The Smoking Gun refuted these claims with court records and interviews with detectives from his case who said that he was never convicted and didn't serve any time in prison.
Bum, bum, bum.
So quite the opposite of spending 4 years in prison. And so Akon then responds again and says that he actually had some shorter sentences that added up to 3 years.
It's weird.
Very weird. So the records seem to say that he spent a few months in jail for possession of a stolen car in 1998, but that the charges were dropped. So my opinion is that he just wanted to look tough.
Just like you.
I am tough. In the
streets.
Thank you.
In the streets.
I think he just wanted to like, you know, look cool like the other rappers.
He had
to
be hard.
Who'd gone to prison and things.
Yeah, I think he made it up.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But his big break comes around 2000 when music mogul, am I going to say this right? Divine?
I think it's Devin.
Devin?
Okay. I think so.
Well, you know, Devin, Y blank E usually gives the I sound. So Divine sounds like it should be your name. I'm just saying. I'm going to go with D Stevens.
Shout out to the hood for spelling things differently.
Who is the president of Upfront Megatainment. And I think Nicole is particularly impressed
with
that
name. Very lame name. Megatainment?
The face you just made, you look like you were really impressed with that. So I had it. Megatainment.
People are lame.
Megatainment, people. Anyway. Devin Stevens, perhaps, or it's Divine, TBD, discovers Akon when the rapper Lil Zane brings Akon to Devin's rehearsal hall. And note, this rehearsal hall is pretty freaking legit. Usher and TLC were developed there, so good job, Akon. And this sweet moment turns Akon and Devin into besties.
Just like us.
just like us, except without the big multi-million dollar recording studio contract, but just like us otherwise. And then Devin eventually signs Akon to his production company and begins sculpting him into an artist. And I feel like we need besties like this, my friend.
Am I not enough?
I just feel like if I had a multi-million dollar music mogul shaping me into becoming another multi-million dollar music mogul, I would be able to spread my wings a little better.
Sorry about that.
I'm just going to, maybe we should talk about that separately.
Okay.
But anyway, at some point early on in his career, he somehow becomes friends with Wyclef Jean from the Fugees. How does that happen?
First of all, Wyclef Jean, but...
Is it Jean?
Yep. He's Haitian, but the Fugees love them.
Haitian. The French. Damn it.
Yeah, you should have known. Jean-Claude.
Van Damme? Do you know who Jean-Claude Van Damme is?
A director.
He's an actor.
Close.
He's really old now. My mom had a crush on him as a kid. Well, no, as when I was a kid, not when she was a kid.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry, Mom. So shortly after making his first few songs, but really it was his song Lonely, Devin and Akon attract the attention of one of the imprint labels at Universal. And after this, the Universal execs go to meet him and sign him in 2003.
Hated Lonely, by the way. Terrible song.
I don't really... Any songs I know of his was purely against my will. I'm going to be honest. I do not like his voice. It is very irritating.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'm just... Anyways.
Well, other people did, because in 2004, he releases his solo debut album, Trouble, and it comes out with some of the main songs like Locked Up, Lonely, and Belly Dancer. Locked Up eventually reaches number 8 in the US and number 5 in the UK, and Lonely reaches top 5 on the Billboard 100 and topped the charts in Australia, the UK, and Germany. Again, hate that song, so I don't understand how that happened, but God bless. And so in 2006... Truly. In 2006, Akon starts his own record label called Con Live Distribution, which is under Interscope, and he releases his second album there, which had features from Eminem, Snoop Dogg, and Styles P, which ends up performing very well on the charts and in sales. And after this, he goes on to write, produce, and perform songs with a bunch of huge names like Young Jeezy, Gwen Stefani, Snoop Dogg, Lady Gaga, Lil Wayne, Leona Lewis, Pitbull, Whitney Houston, R.I.P., David Guetta, and so many more. And so he even worked with Michael Jackson, also R.I.P., towards the end of his life and is said to have produced Michael's last song while he was here on Earth.
That was surprising to me. I didn't know that.
Did not know that either. Mm-hmm. And so while the timing isn't completely clear, Akon is often credited with discovering Lady Gaga. She was actually initially signed to Def Jam, but then was dropped months later, which is very sad. Months.
Wow.
But then she goes on to be a songwriter at Interscope, which is, of course, where he was with Con Live. And so Akon recognized her actual vocal talent and ends up signing her to Con Live, where he works on her first two albums with her. And so by 2010, Lady Gaga was obviously huge, right? Like, she had won 2 awards at the Grammys and has only continued to grow since then. So by 2014 and around this time, Akon says that he cashed out on her and sold his share. I'm not really sure what that means since she's a human being, but...
He doesn't have a way with words.
No.
Maybe he had a percentage of her profits because he...
So say that.
...owned the record.
Say that. Label. Say I sold my stake in her...
I don't disagree with
in
you.
...in her agreement.
I don't disagree
I don't know.
With you. He rubs me the wrong way. That's why, like...
He's a little shady.
If he seemed like a nicer person, I wouldn't be so mean about his music, but whatever.
No, I hear
he's
you.
At least a better songwriter and producer. I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
Anyways, after 2010, he starts to fade out a bit, as we've kind of noted. He keeps working on music, but things weren't really performing like they used to. All in all, he released 6 albums and he sold over 35 million copies worldwide. And even though he's mostly known for music, he's actually remained pretty active in philanthropy. He's contributed to the We Are the World charity after the 2010 Haiti earthquake. And he's launched actually multiple charities in Africa, one of which serves underprivileged kids called the Confidence Foundation. Mm-hmm. And he's also pretty involved in business. In 2007, he launched his own clothing line called Convict Clothing, which I was not aware of. I don't think I ever purchased a...
Don't think that was in Bloomingdale's.
An article of clothing. Of course you were shopping at Bloomingdale's.
In 2007?
Were you?
When did we graduate?
That's when you graduated, wasn't it?
No, that was when I graduated high school too early. I was thinking if it was when I graduated college maybe, but no, never mind.
I literally just stepped into Bloomingdale's for the first time like last week. It was really fancy. I got kicked out immediately.
That's not true, but...
Convict clothing, urban streetwear like jeans, hoodies, and hats. That same year, he buys a diamond mine in South Africa.
Casual.
And that created a lot of controversy because I don't know if anyone's heard of conflict diamonds. Or
blood diamonds.
I was going to say some people refer to them as blood diamonds, which he so lovingly at first, like, I remember in interviews, he just kind of wrote it off like, nah, I don't know, but why would I care? And then after he's like, oh, no, I wouldn't. It's not conflict diamonds. And I'm like, you just said you don't care. So,
I mean, he really didn't have a choice. People kept asking. And it was also like such a thing. It was like a hot word or it was a thing called like a hot topic.
Hot button issue.
Hot button issue. Yep. It was a seat
of my pants. I just came up with that.
It was a hot button issue at the time. And I think that, like, you know, he didn't really have an issue.
No, I don't think so. And then in 2014, he starts the Akon Project Lighting Africa, which provided electricity in 15 countries in Africa. Fun fact, he started this after he realized that his grandmother was still using candles to light her home in Senegal, which is obviously very sad considering a lot of the other parts of the world have electricity. And he provided, through the charity, provided street lamps and solar kits after he got a $1 billion line of credit from Chinese investors. And they also trained local engineers to install and maintain these solar grids. The initial goal was to create jobs in more than 48 countries by 2020 as a result of villages being lit so that there's more safety for shops and vendors, because of course light after dark is always
safety.
Safety
first.
And then in 2020, he reached a deal with a miner to develop a copper and cobalt mine in Congo. 2021, he goes on to Uganda to look for additional investment opportunities in energy, tourism, and infrastructure development. All in all, it's been reported that he has a net worth of $80 million, but I'm not so sure about it.
Not sold?
I am definitely not sold. And judges, you let us know if you're sold after we get through this whole episode.
Well, this might help. So one of his biggest business plans comes in 2018 when Akon announces that he's going to build an oceanfront eco-friendly tourist city called Akon City with a cryptocurrency-based economy, which would be called Acoin, in Senegal over the course of 10 years, the 10 years following that. So, as a little bit of context, the area where the city will be built is reportedly 3 square miles, which is approximately 2,000 acres of land, just minutes from one of the new international airports in Senegal and around 50 kilometers from Dakar. And so, while some reports say that the land was given to Akon by the Senegalese president, Macky Sall, his business partner says that Akon actually wrote a 7-figure check himself to option the land. And of course, people have asked for confirmation of this, but his business partner kind of continues to say that he can't provide any documentation because it was confidential.
Suspicious.
That doesn't feel right to me.
Something's up here. I'm just going to say. And
you can provide a copy of the check. Yeah. That's not confidential.
No, because you can't write the check. My personal opinion.
No, I get it. I get it. I feel you.
And generally, I got to say, because I feel very passionately about this, you know this. Akon's goal was to turn Akon City, by the way, not narcissistic at all, into a hub for business and tourism, wanting to create jobs and help build a stronger economy and a better standard of living for the Senegalese, which in theory obviously sounds fantastic. He planned for the city to include condos, offices, large skyscrapers, huge malls. Basically, imagine it to be a tech hub. It'd have music studios, parks, a university, an oceanfront resort, and a 5,000-bed hospital. And I want everybody at some point, please, to go to akoncity.com because that's where you'll see renderings. It looks very futuristic. I mean, there are, Nick, you can help me describe this, but like twisted, bulbous buildings with large windows.
People describe them as phallic.
I was going to say the resident lesbian here was very scared when I looked at it. I was like, oh my God, I've never seen so many penises in my life.
Yeah.
And it not just penises, it looks like the vibrators, you know, like the, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody
just go look, you'll see what I mean. And it was supposed to be made, all these buildings were going to be made with steel, concrete, glass, and copper. So as you can imagine, it's very different than, I would, not just Senegal, but any place in the world, probably, about like the way that it looks. And it looks like something that was
when
in a,
I was looking
movie.
At pictures, I think the closest thing that I could imagine, like the closest city that I could compare it to, would be like Dubai. But I think Dubai is more tasteful than that,
which is funny because the architect is from Dubai.
Oh, okay. Well, good
done
for me.
Well done,
good for
me. You identified
for
the style.
For no international architecture. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what that is. And to give you all more of an idea and a contrast of like what is present day in Senegal versus what he's planning to do, the tallest building in Senegal's capital is 250 feet tall, while the tallest building in Akon City would be 985 feet tall. So basically the difference between myself and Nicole in height. So just imagine.
You're stupid.
The pictures of us standing next to each other. It's pretty drastic, people. And, you know.
And of course, I would be Akon City and you would be everywhere else.
I would be the little capital building.
I would look like Akon City.
I would be the tiny little guy.
Regal and new.
At least I wouldn't look like a penis.
Fine, fair.
And a local architect, and then I'm done, a local architect commented that the plans didn't seem very sustainable. In quotes, people are going to have the air conditioning on all day long. The images he's publishing, there is no consideration for anything related to Senegal, to our climate, to our materials, to our needs. Meanwhile, Akon's lead architect, who is Dubai-based, as my good friend pointed out, said that Akon City would be built from a mix of traditional construction materials and new materials developed specifically for Akon City. So presumably what? Materials that have never been seen before, including lightweight steel and glass that generates energy. He acknowledged the plan seemed fantastical, in quotes, but said, in 25 years, all the normal buildings will look like this. So everybody, I hope we're around in 25 years to see if we're all living in penises.
The penis buildings, yep.
Yep.
Well, so if things go as according to plan, Akon City will be the first 100% crypto-based city, and his cryptocurrency, Akoin, will be at the center of it all.
By the way, Akoin, A-K-O-I-N.
Yeah, Akoin.
It's like Akon with an I.
It's all Akon. Everything's Akon.
Okay.
And so he said that he thinks blockchain and crypto could be the savior for Africa because they would bring power back to people, and it would enable them to advance themselves independent of the government instead of relying on corrupt and fluctuating currency. And when asked about the details about how this tech would work, he said, in quotes, "Let the geeks figure it out." Sounds promising. Wildly promising. Yep,
sounds,
yep, yep.
Sounds good. That's the way details should be worked out.
So this is very high level. Listen, let me just say this as a little disclaimer. We are not cryptocurrency.
Don't get it.
Blockchain.
Don't get
experts.
It.
We frankly don't know anything about it besides the words that we're saying right now.
Correct.
So if you're looking for more in that, I would just go to, you know, good old Googs, but I'll finish talking about the Akoin. So Akon's plan is that Akoin will eventually be available in all 54 African countries, and it's basically intended to be a currency that can be used to pay bills, etc., you know, a way to establish credit, borrow money, access government services, and more. And so because crypto is tech-based, users would basically have to have a cell phone to use Akoin. The only issue here is that not everyone in Africa has a cell phone. Not everybody in the U.S. has a cell phone either, but Akoin pointed to a report that estimated that by 2025, Africa would have 623 million mobile phone users, which is about half of the population. And so Akon went on to say that Akoin could be used with either a smartphone or a dumb phone. I don't know what a dumb phone is, but okay, which will allow users to basically convert their unused prepaid mobile minutes to Akoin. I don't know if that's helpful.
Sounds,
I feel
really
like if
pricey.
You need to call your mom, Akoin's probably not going to be largely beneficial.
I think the point of all this, though, it's not to point out that, like, to reinforce stereotypes about Africa and the poverty there. It's more that given he's planning on Akoin supposedly being the main currency in the whole continent of Africa, not even just the city, the whole continent, while most people, like a lot of people don't even have electricity. Like he said, his grandmother is lighting stuff by candlelight. It's like, well, what are you going to do to help them get there? Not just this huge one city, right? And then on top of that, the cell phones that they have, they'd have to use data to buy. And that's more pricey too. So I just think that it feels a little unrealistic.
I think it's probably overly optimistic, but somebody has to dream.
Yep. Yep, yep.
And so one of Akon's partners in building this city is a Hollywood producer and his just full-time business partner. His name is John Karras. And so in January 2020, Akon shares on Twitter that the agreements were finalized and the project was underway. And then shortly after, in April, he announced that Akoin would launch in a city that had been built in Kenya. Unclear how it's performing, but it seems like he was trying to do a little trial run.
Yep.
And then in June 2020, a U.S.-based engineering and consulting firm called KE International was basically awarded a $6 billion contract to build the city. And so this company was responsible for actually building a green city in Western Kenya that was supposed to be complete in December 2020, but it's now about 85% done.
Okay, so they've done some stuff.
Yeah, they're reputable. Decent progress. And so it's worth noting that the $6 billion contract itself is actually interesting and draws quite a bit of criticism here because, again, the contract was $6 billion. But on the other hand, Senegal, as an entire nation's 2020 budget, was $7.5 billion.
Like the actual country.
The whole country.
The entire country.
So that's a $1.5 billion delta between one city that is not even built yet.
Correct.
And a whole nation.
That sucks.
Yeah. And not so fun fact, according to a World Bank metric, approximately 40% of Senegal's 16 million people live below the poverty line. So it's a little... tacky. Maybe not tacky. A little tasteless.
Deaf?
I don't know.
Is it tone deaf? Like, would you rather, I wonder, there's a morality question here. Is it better to take the $6 billion and just spend it on the current infrastructure? Or would it be great to establish this new city? And I think it just depends on what you're going to do with this new city. Because if it can provide a better cost of living, or better, sorry, just a better living for most of the people, then great. Mm-hmm. But we'll see if it seems affordable for everybody. Yeah. Let's talk some more.
Yeah.
So KE International said that they had raised approximately $4 billion in funding from, in quotes, leaders in the healthcare and technology industries, end quote, for the first and second phases of the city's building. But interestingly enough, only one investor is actually identified, a man named Julius Mwale, I'm going to go with, who has a history of being sued over allegations that he did not pay his debts. And even left his home country of Kenya under unclear circumstances and sought asylum in the U.S. Allegedly, he left Kenya because he has a disagreement with government authorities over his technology research and thought his life was in danger. But as for his lawsuits, we want to give you a little taste of what he's, you know, been doing. In 2012, a New York court ordered that he pay more than $325,000 to two women who sued him over a fraudulent loan. 3 years later, in 2015, a New York court again ordered that he pay $209,000 to a former Manhattan landlord who said that he had failed to pay his rent and his bills for nearly a year. And then in 2017, a Ugandan tech entrepreneur sued him for failing to repay a $50,000 loan. And my question is, if you can't even repay these in like relatively small amounts in comparison to billions of dollars, do you really have the money?
He doesn't seem like the best investor, I'm going to be honest with you.
Do you really have
promising?
$4 billion
nope.
for two phases of a $6 billion project?
Nope.
That's okay. And again, it's largely unclear who these other financial investors are because they said there were multiple and how all of these people are coming together with these funds. And we want to note here that an alleged insider familiar with the financials who spoke anonymously to Business Insider said Akon City could very well cost double the $6 billion originally anticipated to build a city. Because that happens, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know how to estimate the cost and often in construction, unforeseen things pop up. But anyway, we should note that Senegal's tourism agency would also co-develop with him since it would benefit them. So there is legitimacy here too.
Yep.
And according to the plans, the first phase would be done in 2023. It'd include roads, a hospital, residences, hotels, a police station, a waste facility, a school and university, a solar plant, a mall, and more. The second phase would be done from 2024 to 2029. It's a big gap. And then then it's supposed to be completed by 2030 with a population capacity of up to 500,000 people.
Mm-hmm. And so to get things on the road, in September 2020, Akon travels to Senegal and lays the first stone. While there, he actually said that the city was partially inspired by the Black Panther movie and the desire to teach African Americans about African culture, so he wanted to basically build a real-life Wakanda. And so as of April 2021, nothing had really been done since that first stone was laid. And people in the area started to criticize him, unsurprisingly. And so residents in nearby areas were basically hoping that, like, once he laid the first stone, they would be able to secure jobs in the city. And they said that they hadn't really seen much happen since then. And at the time, leaders for the city said that the construction would begin in October 21. And that the first, like, 12 months were basically needed for planning approvals, et cetera. So maybe that's true. I don't know. I've never built a city, unsurprisingly.
I have to admit, I haven't either.
Yeah.
Especially a penis city.
But unfortunately, that was back in 2021. And it doesn't appear that any real construction has basically happened since then. But in July 2021, after meeting with Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni, Akon announces another Akon city in Uganda, which was supposed to be a 15-year development project, but TBD.
Can you really say another when you haven't even built the first one, though?
I guess if they're both in the works.
You put one stone down and you're like, I haven't, don't worry, the plans and the delays.
I would say like I'm simultaneously developing a second city. You know what I mean?
And then he goes to Uganda. He's trying to do this everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Morality here. Okay. I gotta talk about it. Many have criticized his planning for not including the community in the development process instead of waiting to hire the working class after the wealthy have already trickled in. So basically the idea here is he's outsourcing these firms, right? KE is US based, actually Los Angeles based. The architect is from Dubai. There's plenty of competent, smart people in Senegal, in even the continent of Africa. Let's just stick with the continent if you want, that could help plan out these things. Mm-hmm. And when Akon's business partner was asked which local orgs they've tapped to help plan and build, he couldn't name a single one. And I just think that there's a risk here that although Akon himself is Senegalese, he's American. He was born here. Mm-hmm. So I think it can feel like here comes another American with their lofty plans.
You're trying to tell us what
to do. But the city isn't for us, yeah, right? It's for other wealthy folks. Mm-hmm. So it's really upsetting. And it seems the people behind the city even disagree on who the city is being primarily built for. The lead architect said it'd be open to everyone, in quotes, from janitors to engineers to Hollywood stars. But then the KE firm project manager, the ones who were awarded the $6 billion contract, said that 30% of the city's housing would be affordable to, in quotes, the lower half of the wage market. So, okay, that's a lot less. Akon's business partner, the one that you mentioned, Karas, this is the Hollywood guy, said it was likely that the initial residents would be, in quotes, business owners, business people, don't know what the difference is there, and Europeans looking to vacation.
Toxic. Yeah. So not for the locals Europeans, at all.
Yeah. Wealthy white folks is what I'm saying. And then Akon himself said he sees, in quotes, more of the elite local Senegalese living there before the middle class.
Trash.
So is this silly city really being built to bring more equity to the Senegalese? And this, to your point, is this is supposed to be a $6 billion city, but the entire country's budget is $7.5 billion. Mm-hmm. So that's where you're going to start to feel like, wait, are the people here only supposed to be the janitors, mm-hmm, to use the architect's word? Like, is that the only place for them? Are they going to even be able to afford to live here?
Right, right.
It just seems sus.
I mean, it is all very sus. It's all very scammy, it feels to me, because there's just no clarity and visibility into like who these investors are and what their interests are. Mm-hmm. So it's just unclear where this is going to go. But I think, kind of, let's circle back to, okay, this will all tie together, okay? Right. Hang in with me.
All right, I'm just very upset.
So I understand, my friend. So if you remember, Akon had a friend and a partner named Devin Stevens, who basically had helped Akon along the way and arguably even discovered him. So sadly, their friendship and partnership soured, and they've had many legal issues over the past couple years. And so in 2017, Devin sues Akon for $150 million in alleged unpaid fees that he believes he's owed for helping Akon launch his career. Hmm. And so he alleges that he has a contract with Akon that entitles him to a portion of the income that Akon receives from tours, royalties, record sales, and other things. And that's supposed to at least include a 40% cut of everything Akon has earned since 2006 due to an operating agreement that they allegedly had.
Oof.
Query on that.
That's big.
So reportedly, this dispute has even dated back to 2015 when Devin said that they originally resolved the issue out of court, but then Devin was allegedly never paid. So as a result of this initial 2017 lawsuit that we're talking about, Akon and Devin reportedly entered into a settlement agreement in October 2018. And so under the terms of this agreement, Akon agreed to, one, pay a $3.25 million fee in like a couple installments, basically, according to an agreed upon payment schedule. And then, two, to pay Devin 20% of Akon's future net income from the exploitation of his songs, albums, etc., over the course of four albums while he's at a major label. And at that time, he was at Atlantic.
Big one.
And so one would think that things were going well since they had settled on how to resolve this financial dispute. But in 2019, Devin ends up suing Akon again for defaulting on his payment of $500,000, which is the second installment out of four for that $3.25 million fee that I was just talking about.
Got it.
And so this was later resolved and dismissed after Akon paid the $500,000 fee separately. But in 2021, Devin sues Akon again.
Shocker.
Shocking, right?
He has a lot in common with Mr. Mawale, the other $4 billion investor.
Some people just don't pay their bills.
Allegedly.
You take this.
I'm feeling Joanne the Scammer vibes, if you ask me.
Okay, go ahead, Joanne.
Let me go on. So Devin sues him again, like my dear friend said, in 2021. He claims that Akon, in quotes, flagrantly, I love that word, breached two separate contractual promises that were part of the prior settlement agreement. Specifically, one, he says he was never paid his final installment of $750,000 from that 2018 settlement agreement, and he claims he's owed at least $3 million in royalties.
Not bad. I would like $3 million.
I'll take 40% of 40% of 40% of $3 million. So if you're feeling generous, Mr. Devin, if you ever get paid, I'll take it. Two, under the settlement agreement, Akon made payments from 2018 through 2020, but then he says he hasn't paid anything since January 2020. So he seemingly thinks Akon has accrued a great deal of royalties since then, and I'm sure he has, because royalties go on in perpetuity.
They keep happening forever and ever.
We haven't said that in a while.
We have not said perpetuity in a while.
A little TBT to season one. He also claims that Akon sabotaged his relationship with Atlantic, the record company that he was at originally, so that Akon would no longer have to pay Devin royalties for the four albums that we mentioned. For context, in March 2019, Atlantic terminated Akon's exclusive recording agreement, and he signed a new agreement so that he can release his albums through the international family of companies known as BMG Rights Management. Devin claims this was because Akon was not delivering records on a regular basis and was difficult to work with. But again, he says that Akon did this on purpose to get out of his obligations to Devin. Because is BMG big enough? TBD.
Yeah, we'll get back to that.
Akon said that he hasn't made his 20% payments because BMG is not a major label. Sorry, I had to spoil it, but I'm so riled up over here.
Very stressed out.
And is therefore not required to pay up per the terms of the settlement. Because again, remember, the settlement said he has to pay on the four albums so long as he's part of a big record label.
Yep.
So Devin is arguing BMG is a major record label. I mean, come on. Fun fact, BMG does call itself the fourth major record label.
That doesn't help. If they're calling themselves a major record label, it's probably not helping your argument, Akon.
This is like Ja Rule status with
Akon.
The tweets. Yeah, Mr. Akon. But okay, we got to be shady a little bit. We got to be a little judgy because we're the ladies of judginess. They also only release music for the likes of... I think it's Avril, is it?
Avril? It's Avril. Oh, my God.
I'm fucking with you. I know that one.
Oh.
Avril Lavigne. What if I said Avril Lavigne? Would you disown me now?
I would stop being friends with you.
And Kylie Minogue.
Just as a skater boy, and see you later, boy. He wasn't good enough for me. Is that the word? No, that's not the word.
He wasn't good enough for me?
I think he wasn't good enough for her. She's speaking about somebody like it's like a third person rendition.
I just relate so much to that song. Yeah. I make it about me.
I'm sure.
And Kylie Minogue was the other, which, you know, she had a couple bangers.
She had some good club songs.
My brother really likes her because he's gay. And I feel like she's like a gay icon.
Okay.
Kylie?
She's Liza
big.
Minnelli?
She's big. I don't know.
She's a modern day Liza?
I was going to say old gays. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Younger gays. My brother is not.
I like that.
My brother's not 82. But yeah. In any event, Devin is claiming Akon willfully breached and forced a termination from Atlantic, which harmed Devin. And side note, Devin submits records that Akon was making payments for almost a year after signing with them. So what's changed since?
IDK.
I don't know. Finally, Devin also says that Akon underpaid royalties. He claims that the amounts that Akon paid from 2018 through 2020 didn't set forth reporting dates, didn't provide underlying statements or accounting, and only paid for revenues from two sources, when Devin believes his income is from many other sources. So essentially, he didn't get enough, and he's probably hiding more cash.
He seems like somebody who would hide some cash.
No.
So in July 2021, the court dismisses Devin's claims and basically says that the revenue stream couldn't continue since Akon was no longer with a major record label. Now, we suspect that the court was giving him a chance to amend his statement because in January 2022, Devin obtains new lawyers and amends his initial claims. And so essentially these attorneys went back to the original filing with all the claims that Alexa mentioned and updated it with more specific information and allegations about Akon's breaching behavior. Now, this brings us up to present time. Fast forward.
Okay.
So in March 2022, Devin and his team come out and say that Akon City is basically a Ponzi scheme.
Gasp.
Due to unregistered investments, unlicensed sellers, Acoin being promoted with raffles and tokens and other behaviors that are typically red flags, aka fraudulent behavior.
Fraudulent.
Okay. Given the investment structure. And so because of this and Akon's assumed investments into the city, Devin's legal team basically asked the judge to freeze all of Akon's assets until the case is resolved. And again, until he gets this like $3.75 million that he's asking for.
Quite a bit.
And so Devin says that if the court and the judge don't freeze Akon's assets, Devin would have a hard time collecting his debt because of Akon's shady practices with Wakanda Land.
And he wishes. Wakanda for life.
Yeah. Wakanda adjacent, kind of far away.
Yeah.
Very far.
Penis land is not Wakanda.
Okay.
To me.
And so Devin is also asking that Akon be required to pay royalties again since he's under a major label. Fun fact here, Akon also has liens on his U.S. real estate because he owes over $6 million in taxes.
Fraudulent.
Which may not be super helpful as the judge is reviewing Devin's request to freeze all the assets. So, of course, Akon's team responds and says that these claims aren't based on any evidence and that Akon's got all the money in the world. And
I love that defense.
There's no Ponzi scheme happening here.
That's a solid defense.
Solid, solid.
Solid defense.
Yep.
Where do things stand now? Well, really, we don't have updates. Akon City / wannabe Wakanda does not exist.
Nope.
But again, go to akoncity.com to look at phallic-shaped buildings and vibrators if you're interested. I highly recommend. And this is a side note, just because I'm a shady bitch. I want to mention that in September 2021, Akon came under fire for saying, in quotes, "The famous and the rich go through more issues than the poor." Mm-hmm. You know when they say more money, more problems? That's a real thing. A month later, he sort of apologized with one of those "if you were offended, I'm sorry" type things, which I don't think that really is an apology. And then he went on to say that he was simply speaking from his own experience. In quotes, "I'm having more problems successfully dealing with all that comes with success than I had when I was poor. I was actually happier when I was poor." Mm. I feel like 2010 Akon was just better off than 2022
I would
Akon.
Agree with that.
I'm just going to put that out there.
But the good news is,
all right,
he is allegedly releasing his next album as an NFT.
What does that even freaking mean?
I don't know.
I'm so sick of
it's
these
It's a digital
NFTs.
Something. I think you just go to like NFT.com and you buy it.
If y'all want to learn about blockchain technology and NFTs from us, that's
you're
our
fucked.
Preview.
You're fucked.
Go sign up for our Patreon.
Quite frankly.
For our assessment on NFTs.
Okay. So I think the moral of the story.
Yeah, what is it?
Is that Akon used to be big. Akon stopped being big.
In the US, I should say. I think he's pretty big in Africa.
I think that's probably true. Okay, fine. So he was big here. He stopped being big in America.
And now he's making his city big.
And then he went on to try and build a city.
Full of big penises.
Full of lots of money that we don't know where this money came from. Probably some of his own if he has any.
She's giving me LDE.
And so it all circles back to his original bestie, who he was supposed to be paying along the way. And he has not been paying his bestie. So the bestie is saying, court, shut the shit down.
Yeah.
Do not let him funnel any money into Akon City until this man gives me my paper. Mm. Now fuck off.
It's real. I hope Devin / Divine, you get your money.
Yeah, get your money, boy.
But I do think that Uncle Sam is going to get their money first.
Probably. Yep. I think that's usually how that happens.
I think the IRS definitely likes getting paid. So yeah, good luck, because I guess that's $6 million to Uncle Sam, and that's like over $3 million and a lot of change in royalties to Devin / Divine.
Yep.
Okay, good summary. Any unsolicited advice that you have? There's probably nothing, because everything was done so well here. Good luck.
Don't scam. I don't know. Like, where do I even start? It's just all trash here.
It's a lot of trash. It's a lot of trash.
Maybe he should have stuck to his little auto car theft ring. Auto car. I think I said it. It was probably unneeded to say
Grand
auto
theft
and
auto?
Car. Grand theft auto. He should have just stuck with the stealing cars thing.
Yeah. Allegedly.
And not going to jail.
He couldn't even scam out of pretending to be a criminal. No, he didn't. He couldn't even do that well. What are we saying? You pretended to serve prison time and you didn't.
Does Lady Gaga claim him? Does she say that, like, he discovered me?
I actually don't know. Producer Marge? I feel like she knows.
She apparently has. Okay.
He was a legit producer, right? He was working with Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston. He worked with her, RIP, before her death. But he did.
At what phase of her life did he work with her?
He wasn't her drug rehab point of contact. That's dark.
All I'm saying is there were some phases in Auntie Nippy's life where she was not the most on, you know, she wasn't on her P's and Q's. Look, she wasn't dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And so all I'm saying is, did Akon come at that phase?
I'm not saying.
Listen, I love Whitney. Whitney is
I didn't say anything.
One of the singing gods in my life.
Yes.
But, you know, her and Bobby had a tumultuous time where, like, Whitney was not.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good.
You know?
It was definitely not good.
No.
But he was trying to work with her, and he discovered Lady Gaga, right? We can't deny the fact that he has talent. I don't want to listen to his music.
It's interesting to me. There's a pattern here.
Oh, okay.
As I think about this, there's a pattern here.
All right. Okay.
So hear me out.
Okay.
He was working with Whitney at a very specific point in her life.
Yes.
He also happened to be working with Michael Jackson before he passed away. Very specific point in his life.
Right here.
I'm not saying he's a killer.
Oh, geez. Okay.
I'm saying he's taking advantage of people. Mm. And from what I know, Lady Gaga was like not having the best life before she got discovered.
She just got let go.
She was like a little bit depressed. She got let go. From what I understand, she was like working in a bar where like things were a little toxic.
Poor Stephanie.
And so all I'm saying is it feels that Akon takes advantage of people when they're down.
He knows when to slide in the DMs.
Yeah. Huh?
When the girl just breaks up with her
man. So now he's taking advantage of a whole nation of people and has not brought any jobs their way.
And his celebrity, right? I think that if he was just honest about where the funding was, like if he just said, look, I have to secure $6 billion and until I can do that, this city is not going to be made.
Mm-hmm.
But the
mm-hmm.
fact that you say you got $4 billion from a guy who got sued for $50,000 doesn't seem promising.
Yep.
So you need to share information and you need to stop being such a fucking douchebag with these comments about
F you, Akon.
The rich having it much harder than the poor.
F you.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It might be true in a very, very specific sense because he said, it's just me. A rich person on a given day could have a shittier day than a poor person on any given day. And I think that's what he tried to say. But it's like, don't say that. I hate when people just talk. Just shut up. You don't need to say that kind of stuff.
Your problems are just different. I think everybody has different problems at different phases in their lives. But to say that like your problems are worse.
It's
like
very arrogant.
There are people who literally can't pay for gas right now.
Yes. Or home. Or their houseless.
Many things.
So many. This is very problematic.
The point is, F you, Akon.
Don't be Akon.
Pay your money. Pay your bills.
Build a fucking
idiot.
Penis city. What says little dick energy more than that?
You're right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm getting major little dick energy here. I think that is my advice. Don't have little dick energy.
Yeah.
Is my advice.
All right, fine. I'll take
that. I hope this makes it into the soundbite.
Yeah.
We'll TikTok will censor us. Okay, let's move to the Q&A. We actually were asked, do we prefer cats or dogs?
Ew.
Okay. All right. They literally asked us that.
Well, okay. I am allergic. I'm very allergic to cats, actually. It's like a family thing. I used to think it was a black thing, but I don't know if that's true anymore. I tried to explain that to my husband.
What is that? You think, okay, I don't even know if I can ask this. Is it going to be racist if I say, you thought all black people were allergic
to cats? I did. And I tried to explain it to my husband at one point. He was like, no.
Okay. Well, my wife is black and we have two cats.
I met him before I met you guys.
She's half black. I don't know if that, okay, does stop. That not oh, count right. for you?
Okay.
I mean,
I'm not going down this path. Long story short, I'm allergic to cats. Very allergic to cats. And so I'm a dog person. I was also always a dog person. My first dog was a Rot Diamond. She was very sweet.
A Rot Diamond.
R.I.P. Diamond.
You would have a Rottweiler.
It was very odd. It didn't really make sense because, well, you haven't met my parents yet, but they're not Rottweiler kind of people. But basically, my grandfather had a Rottweiler who had babies.
Oh, cute.
And he was like, oh, do you guys want one? My mom was like, yeah, let's do it.
I mean, they're cute. They're terrifying, but they're cute.
Cute. Sweetest dog little ever. Pups.
I wish they could just stay puppies.
Yeah.
I mean, I just like little things because it makes me feel
big.
Complete.
Yeah.
Okay. Not big, just the same. I just fit in.
Cats or dogs for you, you weirdo?
Dogs, for sure.
Yeah, I'm aware.
I've come to like the two cats that I own in tandem with my wife. But yeah, she's definitely the cat person. And I've come to cohabitate enough with them, I'll say. I like one cat in particular because he's a boss ass bitch. The other cat is too sensitive for me, to be honest. I like a feisty personality. That's my thing. So me and Hampton, I could say his name. I mean,
I don't think he's under witness precious. Protection.
He's a little precious about his privacy, but I think he'd be okay with me saying his name. I love my cat Hampton because he's my little guy. But my dogs are my dogs.
Where do they sleep? Where do cats sleep?
They have an entire freaking room. So there's a
they
joke.
Stay there when they sleep.
Yeah, the entire room.
Where do the dogs sleep?
In a crate.
Oh, wow. This is a zoo.
Inequity. Okay. Inequity, actually. The dogs need to be crated because they poop everywhere. And so
in the middle of the night, too?
You never know. No, they're just crated. It's comforting to them because otherwise dogs or our dogs and a lot of dogs feel like they have to defend the space. Huh. So it actually gives Nico a lot of anxiety and Teddy in different ways to have too much space.
Interesting. Okay.
She goes crazy. She's a terrier and she barks everywhere. So
interesting.
We contain her so that she doesn't feel like she needs to defend everything. And then Teddy's just a psychopath.
Okay.
So he'll freak out no matter what.
That's sweet.
He tore up our door in the last apartment because he has separation anxiety. So he's just created for...
I remember like you telling me about one time he had like diarrhea all over the house. Then you put him in the bathtub and he was still having diarrhea.
He shit on me on the way to the... Yeah, it was terrible. I hate that dog, but I love him. Like, I equally hate and love Teddy. He's so cute. He's a Yorkie poo. And he's fluffy. He's really adorable.
Sweet. I used to like when he came to the office with us. Will you bring him back?
No, he's a little bitch. No, okay. He whines too much. The second I leave.
You can put him in my office.
Yeah, he does like you. It's just the separation anxiety. If I leave, he'll whine for a bit. You would have to distract him. We could make it work.
I'll just close the door and talk to him.
Yeah, it'll be
fine. I'll tell him about my day.
Yeah, we could do it. It's fine. All right. That was the cats or dogs. I hope you all enjoyed hearing about diarrhea and... my evil
and
cat.
pet preferences.
That was a fun question though. Thank you for asking that. Okay, we got to move into our exclusive content for Patreons only. So
we haven't done in a while.
About that. That was good. We have to make sure we remember our roots, which is in reggaeton. Obviously, go sign up, people. All right, people. Thank you for listening. Everybody, if you want to hear more about us, please go sign up for our Patreon. We just had another great round of icebreakers. We refer to them. Very fun. Otherwise, go tell your friends, your family, your friends, your pen pals. I think I said friends twice, but tell more of your friends. All of the friends, enemies, ambassadors,
husbands,
wives, mistresses, misters, and everything in between about yours truly. And by that, I mean legally judgy. Go leave a 5-star rating and write us a nice review on Apple. You might even get a shout out if you amuse us enough. Challenge accepted, hopefully. And otherwise, thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also join us on our Patreon for more judgy shits and giggles. Until next time.
Bye.